Good morning, everyone. It seems strange to say good morning. We usually say good afternoon. I'm so used to that. And it's been about, I think, 4 months since we were here. I think it was in December. I was speaking about New Year's, not celebrating New Year's. So it's been a long time. Promise not to stay away so long next time. Actually, this message that I'm about to give is part one of a two-part series. So I'll have to come back here in the next, hopefully within the next 8 weeks and give part two, which I've already given in Indianapolis. But I'd like to begin with some interesting facts about the Bible. About 40 men were engaged in the writing of the Bible during a period of about 1600 years, that is from about 1500 BC to AD 100. And just listen to these stats. You don't have to necessarily write them down, just listen. The Bible contains 3,566,480 alphabet letters, 773,746 words, 31,102 verses, 1,189 chapters, and 66 books. And the Old Testament contains 39 books, the New Testament 27. In point of length, the average word of the Bible contains fewer than 5 letters, which is somewhat surprising. The word Lord occurs 1,853 times. Now, the book of Esther contains 10 chapters, but neither the word Lord nor God is found in the entire book. The middle chapter of the Bible is also the shortest chapter. It is Psalm 117, and it contains only 2 verses. The shortest verse in the Old Testament is 1 Chronicles 1, verse 25, which just is 3 names. It just names 3 people. And the longest is Esther chapter 8, verse 9, which contains 90 words. The shortest verses in the New Testament are John 11, 15, which just says Jesus wept, and 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says, rejoice always. Well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1, and we'll look at the longest word in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll. Now, he would need it. And write on it with a man's pen concerning Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And that is the longest word in the Bible, 17 letters. Now in Ezra chapter 7, verse 21, not too far away if you'll turn there with me to Ezra chapter 7, verse 21. This particular verse contains every letter of the alphabet except J. I thought that was a little interesting. We'll read it. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 21. And I, even Artaxerxes, the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently. So all the letters of the alphabet are in that verse except for the letter J. Just a few more facts in way of introduction. The 19th chapter of 2 Kings and the 37th chapter of Isaiah are nearly identical. Now, the Bible holds the distinction of being the first large production printed book, and it was first printed with movable type in 1456 by Johann Gutenberg, and it was in the Latin language. The King James Version of the Bible was first published in 1611, and we just had our 400-year anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible just recently. The first English Bible printed in this country, in the U.S., was in 1782. It's not generally known that Noel Webster, author of the famous Webster's Dictionary and the Blueback Speller, also made a translation of the Bible, which was published in 1833. And the revised version of the Bible was issued in 1885. And the American Standard Edition was published in 1901, just fairly recently. Well, the Bible is the most translated book in the world. It has been translated into more different languages and dialects than any other book. And it continues to be the bestseller in the world. It is the only book, I would add, brethren, that reveals the origin, the mission, and the destiny of man. Now, there may be conflicts between the Bible and the theories of some scientists, or between the facts of science and the theories of some Bible scholars, but there is no conflict between the Bible and the facts of science when your mind is open to understand what it's truly saying. Now, these things that I've just read to you are interesting, but brethren, what's really important here is what the Bible is and what it teaches us. Today we're going to look into the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and examine elements of how this book is so truly amazing and why it is so critically important to us. And appropriately, we'll use the Bible itself to show us these elements, which are all important to us. So the title of this message is Part 1, The Word of God Is... dot, dot, dot. And today we'll have five elements. And then in the second message, there will be four. So let's begin. The Word of God is, number one, for our first point, divinely inspired. It is divinely inspired. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, very familiar scripture. I'm just going to read the first part of it, because we're going to come back to it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is inspired by Almighty God. And that makes this book unlike any other book. It contains critical information about the past, the future, and the present. It reveals why things are the way they are. It reveals the purpose behind everything. It reveals how man came to be and the amazing purpose for man's existence and the truly incredible potential of all human beings throughout time and history. And it reveals God's way and the blessings of that way, as well as the result of not following that way. It is truly an incredible book. It is unlike any other book that has ever been written, brethren. It is the Word of God because it was inspired by Almighty God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, let's turn there. The Bible reveals how God inspired it. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, we're breaking in to a sentence here, but we're going to come back later. So I'd like to begin in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As they were moved by God's Spirit. And of course, prophecy is about a third of the Bible. But the whole Bible, brethren, was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. God wrote the Bible, the Word of God, for us, for you and for me, and for everyone. It is a revealed message of God to us. And that's why, brethren, this book is so consistent and non-contradictory, even though it was written by so many different people, so many different men over this long period of time. It was divinely inspired. And what it reveals and teaches goes to the very depth of life and the future, to the depth of life and what's going to happen in the future. Which brings us to the next element. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. We'll spend just a little bit more time on this particular point, but let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. And they did suffer, brethren, especially Paul, as they ministered to God's people. Verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, and by the power of God. We're going to talk about that in the next message. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know, the apostles taught the word of truth, the true gospel that they had heard from Jesus Christ and had been taught by him, as well as what they learned through the Holy Scriptures as their minds were open to it. And some of what they were inspired to say and write became part of the Scriptures later. And it was and is the truth. The truth about man's incredible purpose and potential. The truth about God's coming kingdom to this earth. The truth about how to worship and honor God, as we heard in the sermonette today. And the truth about how we are to live and to grow and to realize an incredible potential. In John chapter 17 and verse 14, let's read the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Son of God. John chapter 17 and verse 14. John chapter 17 and verse 14. Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. The Bible is truth, brethren. And we are set apart by it. You know, the understanding of the truth of God as revealed in his holy word, as we read it with our minds open to it, has changed our lives and it sets us apart. We have been sanctified and set apart. And it's why we are here on this day of the week. It's why we believe what we believe and practice what we do as true Christians, which is far different than what the world does and practices. We are not of the world. We are not. Because of the Word of God and our mind being open to it. You know, notice if we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's go back there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We read this first part before. I'll read it again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God, brethren, will correct us, and it will instruct us, and it will ground us in doctrine and in the truth. that we may be thoroughly equipped for good works. And we're going to talk more about this in the next message in part 2. But the Word of God is profitable for us. But notice back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's turn back there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Actually, let's look forward. And let's talk some more about the truth. The Word of God is truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And it was during the time of the apostles in the early church. And it's continued. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. There has been a restraint. But in the time of the end, that restraint will be removed, or at least be changed to a great degree. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That is coming, brethren. An individual, a person that will have power, that will seem like it is from God, but it is from Satan. And it will be lying wonders with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive what? The love of the truth, that they might be saved. The love of the truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they should believe it. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So I ask you, brethren, and I ask myself, do we love the truth? Do we really love the truth that God has revealed to us? Because the time is coming when we will be tested, and it will be revealed if we truly love the truth. There is a great lie and a powerful deception coming, and God tells us we must love the truth to resist it. So do you, and do I. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talks some more about this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, Timothy, and fulfill your ministry. He was warning Timothy, but he's warning all of us as well, because a turning away from the truth is coming in the future. We need to be watchful of the times around us, and we need to be watchful. You and I need to be watchful of our own spiritual condition. Get your nose into the Bible and allow God to use it to equip you for the future and for what is coming. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Which brings us to the third element, the next element. The Word of God is the way by which we were called. The way by which we were called. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, if you'll turn there please, it's not too far away. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creature, of His creatures. You know, God brought us forth by opening our minds to understand the truth as He reveals it in His Word, the Bible. And it was preached to us, but we read it. We read about it in the book as well as in literature. But God revealed it through this book to us. But He had to give us understanding and open our minds to understand it. And to understand the truth and how amazing that truth is and how priceless it is. You know, brethren, our calling has changed the trajectory of our lives. And it's changed what we are. It's changed who we are. You know, I have a Catholic background, and I know many others, some have Catholics. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to Catholic high school. And I don't mean to go off on too much of a tangent here, but it was there that God began to call me. Because I was taught that the Red Sea was not really parted, that there was a shallow area that only Moses knew about. I was taught that Samson did not really kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. I was taught that. I was taught that those were stories that were made up to illustrate a point. And I could not bring myself to believe that. I did not have God's Holy Spirit at that time when I was in high school. But I could not understand how you could say that the Bible was fiction in any way. Because if any part of it is, then all of it is suspect. Is the story of Jesus Christ a story that someone made up to illustrate a point? If you go down that path that I was being taught in Catholic high school, there is a huge, huge problem. But brethren, God eventually called me. And I don't mean to put myself up on a pedestal. He's called each of us and opened our mind to understand the truth. And it changed our lives. It changed my life dramatically. And brethren, that calling and that understanding has opened up something else that we've already alluded to. And that is the potential to eternal life with God our Father. To live forever in His family as a glorified son like Jesus Christ is now. No, brethren, that comes from God and His calling. It is a precious gift to every one of us. Don't ever forget how precious that is. Turn with me next to Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. And I took a little bit more time. But Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Paul writes, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith, brethren, comes from God by the hearing of the word of God, as it is preached to us from the Bible. And of course, that hearing means that you really hear it and that you believe it. And there are ramifications to that. Turn with me next to Ephesians chapter 1. It's not far away. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, Paul continues to talk about this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. He writes, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." The word of truth. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Again, brethren, God opens our minds to truly believe And we must truly believe, and then we must trust Him. And then we are sealed by God's Spirit within us. You know, trusting God is an important element of believing what He says. Because if you believe what God says, you have to change. And you have to go against the grain of this world, and that's going to give you problems. That's just the way it is. Then you have to trust God. It's one thing to hear what this says. It's another thing to truly believe it and begin to act upon it and to trust God that He will be with you in this path that you're now on. You know, what God says to us, brethren, is incredible about the future. Do we trust Him when He says that? When He says that, all things will work out in the end for those who love Him. Do we trust God? Do we believe what He has opened our minds to see and understand in His Word? Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul continues in this vein, 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning of verse 15. Excuse me, beginning in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved brethren by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, to being set apart by the Spirit and belief in the truth, in which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of what? The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The obtaining of the very glory of Jesus Christ as a member of God's family. That is what we have been called to, brethren, ultimately. But notice, continuing in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Hold fast to what you've been taught, because it will comfort you and console you and establish you to every good work. Hold fast to what you've been taught, brethren, by the Word of God. In Psalm 119, let's turn there for one last scripture in this element. Psalm 119 and verse 97. We actually sing parts of this, and it is very powerful. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You and your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers because of God. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. David proclaims how sweet the word of God is, including the law of God. And how he has more understanding than the ancients, which you and I, by the way, have as well. Because they do not understand, even the brightest minds of this world, God's purpose and the true purpose of mankind and the reason for all of this around us. So are we keeping our noses in the Word of God on a frequent, continuing basis? Is it still sweet to us? Brethren, ask God to help you in this way, to appreciate every day the incredibly valuable understanding that God has given to you, as He has opened your mind to understand the Bible, His Word. Take advantage of the Bible being unlocked to you. Which brings us to the fourth element. The Word of God is a light to our path. Right here in Psalm, verse 119, and verse 105, the next verse. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, the Word of God is a light to our path because it teaches us deep spiritual principles that lead to many blessings now and in the future. It is a light to illuminate our path, as it were, as we are walking down the road of our life. And that light reveals pitfalls and traps and snares along the way that we can fall into. But if we can see them, we can avoid them. By the understanding of these spiritual principles revealed in God's Word, we can make the right decisions and avoid a whole lot of suffering and even failure. We can stay on the pathway that leads to God and to eternal life. And brethren, there is something else that the light of God illuminates. We can see elements of the future, which I've talked about through this message, because the Bible talks about it so much. Elements of the future that give us hope and security in God as we trust Him. And this is especially valuable and will become increasingly so in these end times, of what God reveals about the future. So our security, brethren, and our trust is in God. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn back there with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And therefore he says, awake you sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, we have light from God's Spirit within us. And the understanding that we have of God's Word. We have this light within us so that we can see these things, brethren, and we can see where we are to walk in the light that comes from God and His Spirit. We must be walking in that light. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, close by, Paul talks a little bit more about this. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We should not be part, brethren, of this world that is in darkness, as alluring as it may even seem to us. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. The whole world, brethren, is spiritually asleep and has been deceived by Satan. But let us watch and be sober. We are not of the night or of the darkness, and we are to be awake and watchful and sober as we walk in the light that comes from God. And one more scripture in this area in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1. This time from the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We didn't read this whole thing last time. We broke into it in verse 20. But let's read it. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The prophetic word of God, brethren, is a light that shines for us in a dark place until the morning star rises in your heart. Hopefully in our hearts, when we are changed into spirit beings, into the divine sons of God. You know, brethren, Peter wrote these words to those he was addressing at that time. But those words and the words of the Bible itself, all the words, are written to us now, and every person that has existed in the past or will come to exist in the future. Every human being, Peter has written these words to them of this light that they will eventually have the opportunity to experience. The light that will lead them eventually, if they obey God and grow spiritually, and grow to love God, to the morning star rising in their hearts and eventually coming to be part of God's family as a spirit being. And how fantastic this is, brethren. And it leads us to the last element that we'll consider today, which is the Word of God is timeless. The Word of God is timeless. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, if you'll turn there, please, to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God stands forever. Now, why is that so? Because it contains eternal spiritual principles and the truth that we've talked about. And because God's power and nature, his righteousness, will not change. His love for us, for you and me and all mankind, will not change. And what God is doing in building that he reveals to us in this book will stand. It will happen. It's just a matter of whether you will be there and I will be there. It will happen. God's will be done, and his family will be built. His purpose will be fulfilled. His will be done. The Word of God is timeless. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, let's read again the words of Jesus Christ, our elder brother and soon coming King. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Brethren, the word of God is timeless in that what it says applies to all people, regardless of when and where they lived. God the Father and Jesus Christ are unchanging in their power and love and righteousness and wisdom. And the truth and the spiritual laws and principles in God's word do not change as well. Human nature is fundamentally the same in every time era. Therefore, brethren, the word of God applies to all peoples throughout time and in every age. And what it tells us is timeless, and it will happen. So in conclusion of this first message, we've looked at five elements as to why the word of God is so amazing and it is so critically important. It is the divinely inspired message to us and to all who have been given understanding by God's Holy Spirit at this time. And eventually all people who have ever lived will get that understanding and that chance as well to act on that understanding. The Word of God is the truth. It reveals the past, present, and future. It reveals critical spiritual principles and laws. It reveals what God is doing and what will certainly come to pass in the future. And that future is more astounding than any imagination of the human mind. The Word of God reveals why we are here and why things are the way they are and the incredible potential to one day be in God's family. God's Word is the way by which we were brought to understanding and established in the faith by reading and hearing the Word of God preached to us as our mind was open and we were brought to understanding. And we came to truly believe it, to act upon it, and to trust what God was saying and is saying to us in His Word. Is our nose in that Word daily? You know, God's Word is a light to our path, as we saw today. And as I just mentioned, it reveals deep spiritual principles by which we are to walk. And they are a light to our path so that we will not fall in the darkness. And that path, brethren, to walk in light with God leads to God and eternity. And finally, in this message, brethren, we saw that God's Word is timeless. And this is one of the amazing things about God's Word. It does not get old. It's always relevant to those whose minds have been open to understand in every time and in every era. So I hope that you will think about these things. You know, the Bible has always been under assault in one way or the other. And that assault to try to discredit it or discount the Bible will intensify in the coming months and years ahead. As Satan's time grows short, the Bible will be increasingly under assault. And eventually, we who are following what it says. Take advantage now of the time to get your eyes onto God's Word, brethren. And know that this book says. Know what it says. And allow God to write it into your heart. And allow God to equip you by it for the future. Now, next time, we will examine four more elements of the Word of God. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.